So there is an announcement to be made really wants to make.
Yeah, I just wanted to, for some of us to recall and for others to say for the first time, that we are planning a congress next year in January, next year here, on the idea of spirituality beyond traditions, which is the mother's, I'm sure I've heard the mother's idea, and Oracle actually works already on the basis of this conviction. So in a way it's maybe more a Western issue, but at the same time it would as well be interesting for our audience to integrate the fullness or the depth of this idea. And so I'm just saying this to invite all of you and to invite to brainstorm on this idea, and maybe you have people who feel in order or from outside who might be interested. There's some little funding. I thought it was very much, but after all, if we pay lodging for people from outside, it is still relative. But it should be, I feel, a university community event at the same time an all Oroville event, as inclusive as possible, and to have a unifying energy. So it's open for all the fields of interreligious dialogue, that talks spirituality, psychotherapy, art, or whatever. So whoever has, been inspired and has intuition and insight should come to us or come to me as a human being. And this should be good for talks. For this morning I happened to be Kailash, for the first time I met, and she said that she had talked to Little Mother about this subject, and even wrote a paper on it. It had been published somewhere. And Ganga Lakshmi told me this morning that she has collected a whole paper on expressions where the mother in the agenda talks about you have to go beyond traditions. So we have a little material from here. One day or one morning afternoon could be dedicated to this idea in the writings and the thoughts of the mother, then in the experience of Oregonians, which would be very, very precious to have Oregonians talk about their own experience here, how they live with therapy and religions. The field of therapy, art, I said, so have some talks wherever, maybe in South Pavilion, and then have workshops and meetings and interpersonal exchange in other places in Oracle. Maybe. And so that's the main idea. It would be from the 5th to the 8th of January next year. And
beautiful. Sounds beautiful. There is, this event was planned 2 years back. We were thinking to make it, even this year we were thinking to make it, but then it was postponed to the next year. Well, in the meanwhile, we were planning another event to make a conference on integral learning program. Mm. And we met with Rajiv Malhotra here discussing these possibilities to have this conference in November and or October. And these seminars which we are running now is a preparation for that. It's psychology of social development. We wanted to see how new paradigm will emerge, what kind of material we have, what languages we can use. This is one language, Gapserian language, or spiral dynamics is another language. So we want to see the common ground of something for us to learn from these systems of knowledge. Then we will move to Ken Wilber, and then we will go to Sri Aurobindo. Finally, we will see something. Yes, we went already through Vedic paradigm, of knowledge before. And it was very useful because this prepares the ground. So these bits of knowledge will have to be presented in this conference, which will be in October, November. After that, in this January, there will be this Congress on Spirituality Beyond Religions, which would be also a good continuation of the same search. It would be more substantial already. Already there would be some ground for us to engage ourselves. So now I kind of open discussion and remarks and gaps of those who especially read something or have some new fresh ideas. Please feel free to share. And
yes? Yes, what we thought we said, no? I mean, it is mostly said in private, and these are bits. It's what one experiences at home with these ideas, and one remarks suddenly, my God, but this is happening. And one doesn't realize it, like this magic or mythical, one is mostly in the mental structure. I'm in education. I'm having kids, I teach them how to do things, how to do rhythms and things like that. I teach violin. And then whatever happens, then you remark that there are worlds which are influencing things that you have to wait for. You become, you are starting to become, I don't know, mythical man. No? And you have to invite them and you have to know how to behave in that field. That it is not just grabbing an idea and doing something, but you have to wait until that thing comes down by itself. But you don't realize it if you don't have such a structure as I have seen now, that this one is happening. And it is to investigate more into that, but I told also Vladimir that this kind of, that we are not anymore in this mental thing. I told him that I had this problem with, in my youth, with all these mental structures because they were all wrong. Whatever was presented, it was just rubbish because it didn't include certain other things and it made it not believable. But then you realize that you need this mental thing to be to form this, I don't know. There is in music, there are certain things that without mind you don't arrive at. There are certain things, certain directions. You have to deal with the mind, you have to know how to think and when to think what to arrive at certain thing. For example, I had this just yesterday, we had small kids, 6 years old. So you try to teach them how to divide the rhythm. You have, you tell them, okay, you do ta, 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 ta. Okay, now they know how to follow them. Now you tell them, okay, now you do take. Okay, take, 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 ta. Well, then you realize, my God, they don't know how to do that. When you show them, then they know. But by themselves, they don't know. So what I try to do, I try to go inside their brain and I try to tell them, listen, first you just look at that what is happening. This is that what you have to follow. Then in your brain you say take, take, take. Then for the hand you imagine take, 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 take. And then it will work. It should work, you know. Then you do it, really. Then what was happening? We did it with Anjana. It was something incredible. I couldn't believe. Because suddenly, some of them, you saw this searching mind. Where, what, how? And then suddenly it was perfect. 6-year-old kids, it was perfect, I tell you. Only because their brain was taught how to think correctly at that time, it had to think what. And for me, this is not the end, this is only the beginning. Because then you start including other. Because what the body can do, It can become magical, it can become whatever you want. You can have a body of gold. What is body of gold? Well, that is this mythical thing, that is this magical thing, that is magic. Now, the mind will negate this, but what, come on, body of gold, just leave me alone. But it is not true. Because something will happen, this kind of voice that the body carries into this instrument, it becomes something else. It becomes, there is a certain light which emanates, which is beyond that what you experience. And this is fantastic for me. That's why I, you know, it can be a fancy of the mind, all this with what we have heard. But for me, it's, I go after and I'm delighted. Yeah, that's all.
It's interesting that this mental structure which appears recently only is such a short period of time, you see, and it actually immediately demands, because it's a freedom from through the spatial disconnection, the ego formation, and the strong perspectival concentration, it cannot sustain for long. It destroys the earth. You know? That's what we have here. It cannot be longer. So it has to be very short but very intense time, and then, by very appearance, it demands immediately integral structure. It is already there. You see, it is in conflict with itself.
But it's not that that you need it to enter. This is like a door. It is like a door. Then you have to leave it behind. Then you have to open up to the other structures.
Yeah, well, that's what India does, or other people do. They just, instead of going through this period, intense period of destruction, self annihilation, formation of ego and presentation, they fall back into reality. Now, when they fall back into reality, instead of breaking through to the integral, they fall back into that pre-irrational, pre-rational, and it is not working. And this is the problem. So it's another, we have to break through this structure, but we have to become transparent sooner rather than later. Transparent and to see those layers that they are working within us. That they are sending their own presentation or their own experience of life, their being is going through.
I have the impression it's something like a phase transition in physics. We have a very, very long time period, and a very short time period. And we have to break through, and the process we are in is something like, what will remain in this after this passage is only things that are self-consistent. Mm-hmm. And now there's all kind of waves interfering with each other. And the time period is so short that we can't see the perspective that only this will remain which is self-consistent. And then we have to pass through and we kind of have in the picture cut out all these things that are to remain.
What has happened through this narrowing down, what I see, that this individualization comes to its peak, then it breaks through, and this individual is filled with all that which was there waiting for him. It was negated for a moment, it had to clash, and then it breaks into this another. All these layers come back in a transparent manner, but the individual is already found, formed. It's no more the same world. It's not the oneness of the world. It's an individual and who carries the whole oneness within himself. Something else. But this formation of individual is very painful. Yes.
Does Gebser give any indication about this step from mental to integral? Is it like an evolutionary process, or is it something that is based on individual decisions? How is this for all of us? I mean, that's why we are here. That somehow something happened that we that convinced us to be on the integral side instead of, you know, being stuck in the middle.
I think the Rod has exactly from this topic. He's looking into the second book of Gebser, where he deals with all these matters.
Can I just read a couple of them?
Yes.
One is general and the other is specific to the integral mutation, the new mutation of causes. He says, the dilemma of Earth and mankind today will not be resolved by some sort of human machination. Who does that remind you of? If man is still capable, the dilemma will be resolved only by the full realization of the present consciousness mutation. This mutation will bring about the transformation for which magic imploring, mythical wish, or mental volition and goal orientation are themselves insufficient. It is this mutation which effects the supervention of transparency, diaphaneity, and the integration of our vitality, psychicity, and mentality. Then he defines a term which he calls verition, which is an integral awareing or perception of truth. The integral consciousness structure, which lends to the aperspectival world a transparent reality. And I think the most interesting thing that he says in the book is this one. The capacity of verition, this transparent knowing reality, which becomes a reality with the new mutation, is the guarantee that someone who endures the effects and transformation that are manifest in him by four-dimensional integration effects in turn a transformation of events. This is not the sense that he or she can exercise a new kind of magic power, a new mythical equipoising or polarizing, or a new kind of mental superiority over persons, events, or processes. It is rather that his or her being present is in itself sufficient to effect new exfoliations and new crystallizations which could be nowhere manifest without his or her presence.
When the individual is formed, then the presence within individual is the next step. It has to presentiate the truth. But the individual has to appear. That is the mental structure. Which is
so after writing this, and then he came to Pondicherry and he realized that the mother was such an integral presence. An intensity. He speaks of the integral as an intensity. It's not just a consciousness in the rational sense. When that mutation happens, then we have a field. The field is affected by it because it is that field. And we have so many descriptions of her that she has given of how she related to what we consider to be the empirical world, and it was as if it was all her body. And there are many descriptions of that that she's given.
that's what the sacred information does. Gives that think we are in, still in the mental stage, or does he think we are already into God?
We are in the mental, but there are signs of transition here and there. Yes. And he deals with that.
Like,
well, there are many signs. That's what his book is actually about. All the signs that he sees of the shift in time perception, especially in the 20th century, in physics and in art, as signs. But then there are more concrete signs also.
Lati, you have mentioned mental age 1250 to 1500. Well, I'm wondering, because as far as I can remember, Gebser talks about Homer, Ulysses being the first man to say I, and Homer the first person to divide between the present, the past, and the future, which to him is mental. And then he goes on to say that around 500 or so, there was a separation between the West and the East, the West going into the mental level of consciousness and the East staying more there. He gives examples. Thespis, he separated himself from the choir. So you have a group consciousness and the individual consciousness, and so on and on. How do you see that?
Well, all the dates are approximate, just for us to orient ourselves. What does it mean for us, 2000 BC, or what do we know about that? Mm-hmm. Just approximately to see that the mental period is shorter, much shorter than any other. It is more intense, and most probably because of its dangerous nature and critical nature and exclusivism and destructive character, it has to be shorter. It's like in physics you mentioned. So there is a critical point where this formation has to, so the critical point of child being born is painful period of going through is very short, cannot be long. So that is where we are going through this mental period, being born as individuals into another film. Otherwise, preparation and all that takes longer time. It's very approximate. Dates are approximate. Usually we all have tendency to think 500 BC is the beginning of emergence of mental structure in all civilizations, not only here. Buddha comes, everybody brings something to contribute to it. But even then, I'm not sure that we are dealing with one package. I think there were, as Shubhendra says, many packages, many such developments, and it's not one of those. So there were already attempts to build up. The wars, there were other civilizations about which we have no idea now. And those greater civilizations could be of higher. Now we don't see it. We see only those remnants, those degraded civilizations. And that is not the case. One time they could be very great and very luminous. And this one has to keep in mind, because we think, we have a tendency to think that these are lower. These are not. They were closer to the archaic structure, to the origin. So they were not lower in a sense. They only didn't have that integrality yet. They were falling back to their origin. Individual was not yet formed.
I don't understand this individuality has to be formed. What does it really mean?
Well, in Hindu perspective, if I say it's that the Supreme wanted to be many. As simple as that. He that wanted to be many.
That sounds an integral. An individual mentality.
There is a Supreme origin and it wants to be many. What does it mean?
That means to be one. What you're saying means to be one.
Yeah, I understand that you have to become an individual, you have to separate yourself from time and here, but this is... Okay.
That's all that.
In Sri Aurobindo's psychology and social development, he identifies our rational period of development as the individualistic rational. what distinguishes it most from other periods of human development is something like the automobile, where each one of us has one,
yeah.
And we can go wherever we please, anytime we want.
It's my world.
Whereas in the past, we stayed in one place with our tribe, and or maybe we moved a little bit when we had to move, or because of cataclysms. But it was a group consciousness, and if you think about Greece as being a kind of pinnacle of rationality, actually, it's only the tip of the Greek civilization which was the pinnacle of rationality. Alexander the Great, you would hardly call the pinnacle of rationality, right? He's the warrior leader. And so there seems to be, I think we'll see more and more as we go along with both of these approaches. Any civilization can have a high level of artistic achievement or some other kind of achievement because a few individuals manage to have power and have that consciousness. But the mass, in Egypt, for example, the horizontal level of social evolution for the mass is still at a very, very basic level. And so in each age, as Sri Aurobindo describes it, you have this ascent and then the descent into the next lowest level to prepare it to all come up to that level where a few have touched whatever it is that's descending. So we have the sociological point of view, which is about the horizontal evolution, and we have the psychological point of view, which is about the ascending and the descending evolution. And this is, it's, according to Sri Aurobindo, it's always a combination of these two. On the horizontal level, it takes time for the whole thing to become universalized. But some individuals are going to be there, and they may be able to dominate and organize the whole society to some extent. But I think it's a mistake to think of Greek civilization as a whole as being Plato's and Aristotle's, and when Rome came along, it didn't really have to fall that hard to have the menophon to spread all over the continent.
I ask you then the psychic, huh? That is actually an individualized divine. So it has some. It's an individual.
It's evolving. It's the evolving self.
Yeah. So it's, oh, it has this oneness, but at the same time, there's
the expression.
Okay.
Its expression is what we see, the phenotype. Mm-hmm. Is the expression of the psychic being. So it's evolving within the context of where we are. And so socially, to some extent, it's... to whatever extent we're able to manifest our true self is largely dependent upon our surroundings. And this solves one of the enigmas in the mother's yoga of transformation, because she's always insisting that somehow the environment has to support the higher evolution. And therefore, it has to be brought along so that it provides a basis for the next stage. And so, at any point, according to Sri Aurobindo, in the whole structure of evolving humanity, at any point the individual could step out and realize the divine. But then, that's not really the main project. That helps the individual to help to influence the whole, and it helps the individual to attain liberation. And so the Buddhist cycle is to get the liberation and then go back into the society. That's the Bodhisattva mission, sacrifice. So in Buddhism it's very conscious, the necessity of stepping out in order to achieve transparency, and then stepping back in order to ensure the ongoing development. That's probably far from what you were focusing on.
The point with psychic question is quite interesting, because in the mythical structure, the psychic is we-oriented. It is not oriented for the individual egoistic setting, and that's why it is more like a presence. I always had this question with the psychic, because it evolves and becomes more individual being. Now, to become individual being, it needs mental development. Mental structure has to enter and give it shape, give it possibility to shape itself as a being. And this is the breakthrough. This is the major breakthrough for the psychic, also for the psychic evolution, the mental being.
It means you can, through thought, arrive at an insight of what it's all about.
No, it's only a matter of freeing yourself from environment. You see, to cut yourself from environment, you need this mental structure. It's only this, to form smaller beings, so to say, to focus on yourself, to be able to focus, to concentrate in a perspective way even, on yourself or anything else. To be able to do that, you should have developed mental structure. And with that structure, you can focus and form the psychic being, not reoriented psychic.
Could relate this back to what Ladislav said when he was describing this teaching and learning process. Picking up first the mental capacities and the mind capacities to break through it is what I understood what he said. That's the core. And going on in music means much more than just using your brain in the right way. It's just, I think, as a musician, I can say that it's reaching there, what we were talking about, to reach to an expression of the same being. And in that context, I also was asking myself, we had these two distinctions between presentation and presentiation. Mm-hmm. That was very interesting for me, because the description Ladislav gave, for me, was like an illustration to that process. Mm-hmm. He, as a teacher, is presenting something. Mm-hmm. To the student, how to think, how to make the brain work, and so on. And the work of the student is to presence. Yeah. He has to do it then. He has to realize it then.
Yes.
And so, thinking about that, I'm asking myself, if this integral state of consciousness, this transparency, wasn't always there since mental structure came up. Because this type of learning cannot be divided from each other.
It's very true what you say, and it is. That's why the mental period is so short, cannot be long, and it already presumes the next stage. It is already in contradiction to everything, so to that degree that it presumes integrality. All those other stages developed so long will not permit it to last. They will break through, and that's like a passage. You are very right. It makes sense.
But tell me, this individuality you were talking about. If you want to have, a free mind, you choose your free environment. Now it's like a car; you choose wherever you want to go. Now within the context of conscious cognition of anything, you can do it only with the mind. If you don't do that, you remain in the clan and you do whatever your father has told you to do. No? So this one, I think, is the individuality. Mm. Now, we have talked about God in mind and Indra with his flashes. Now, the mind, because it is so disruptive, it reminds me of the flashes, you know? Because you break through the ordinary, the somewhat the harmonious part when life goes on just by itself, suddenly there comes this chuck, and now I will do this. Mm-hmm. And for me it is Giordano Bruno. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. This free thinking. This man who was in love for the free thought. You can think whatever you want, no? But you need to learn how to think, no? Because if you don't know, if this one is not a machine with muscles, then what do you do? The next thought, oh no, okay.
He was also one of the first to understand these levels of development.
Yes, I believe so. What wonderful thing.
Yeah, he paid for that talk.
But as Geshe says about God, that what we have to do is, in the transition towards the integral, this, the idea that we kill God or God is dead is necessary because we have to stop conceptualizing God and realize the divine reality.
But this was my question that I had in mind when you read this passage, you know. Because in, let's say I bring it down to earth, to this thing where you make an interpretation of a piece. It's quite simple. Then the piece that is there, it points out, like you have said about Da Vinci, no? Then there is the three-dimensional space. And then the space points out into this three-dimensional space within you. So, your work that you are doing, you are projecting something into it. But at the same time, it is projecting something into you. Because the question will be, who is it? Who are you? Who is the interpreter of this thing? And then you realize that you need this transparency, that you say, oh, but, well, who am I? I don't know. Then you present it, you open a door, and you say, okay, do I want to be this finite being, this personality of this violinist and of this pianist, great pianist, he comes there. No, I say it is like that and it is like that. No, we have gone beyond that. All these persons have died out. They are a species of dinosaurs. And if you see them walking on stages, then you realize, my God, but... Well, what the hell are they doing? And you go through all these CD shots and you look for one thing which is valid, which talks to you, and you don't find anything. You find circus animals that are just fantastic and you see, wow, how brave they are. What do they talk about? About themselves. Because they have not gone beyond. And that's why, that's where we are now. But I see the brave now. I see that this one is not valid anymore. Because so many people, they go and they see, but it doesn't tell me anything. They prefer things with mistakes, with wherever humanity is searching or what not what. At least that is my experience. So in that sense, I see a new approach in our... This is not only playing, because interpretation, you have to make an interpretation of that what you are doing now. That you are there, that I am here. It is now that the question is being pointed, but who are you? Is there this transparency now, or is there some mindset stuck in there, and then we just, okay.
If you realize that we had to come to this point of individualistic resonance before we could ask that question.
It's important. Yeah. But I didn't know that. I didn't know that I was fighting these dead idiots, personalities and things like that, and I, oh, this guy and that guy and that. Now I realize that it is like that. But now comes the time that we realize each other in the sense that, please, open the space and let this dimension work within, from the other side, inside, no?
Yeah, it creates some kind of tolerance. Transparency is this tolerance towards the development of others, because if they're going through that stage and they're working out the instrument and they build up egoistic consciousness, it's a must. So one can really see it and understand, he's going there. Now it's important like that. So you could always transparently perceive that and not be affected by it.
I looked up the word transparency and I was astonished. I thought it's something that you can look through. But then Nietzsche said it is clear that you merely can look through. It means there's always
something is there, huh?
There, what you never can see.
Yeah, diaphanity also doesn't mean only transparency. It has several meanings. Translucency, which is another, you shine through. And opacity also, to be opaque.
The Mata Mandir sphere is a good example of this concept. I mean, obviously, light passes through it, and yet it is something which is there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just saying that as an empirical observation. It's also a mythological statement. And you know, the mother has said in her first tenet or axiom of the Aurobindo is transparency. The first thing that the ego is expected to do is become transparent to all of its social and cultural and whatever conditioning. And so it's not an accident that there's a transparent sphere in the middle of that meditation hall. Somehow this experience of transparency has been associated with the emergence of the psychic being. There's a kind of equivalency in those concepts. And also, another invisible essence is the will. The mother always identifies the role of the will, the central role of the will in achieving that transparency. It requires a one-pointedness, which is at the same time positive and negative. It negates all those other levels of the being in order for itself to emerge and integrate them. So the development of the individual is closely related to the development of the will. And it's only when the will is sufficiently master of the vital and physical and mental instrument that it can focus to that extent. She said that very specifically in her little essay on education, integral education.
It's very interesting that the will, though it is the property of the mental structure, volition comes with the mental structure with our building up an ego sense, it is conceived in the magical structure. In the magic structure, this one-pointedness,
it's always there.
Yes, it starts there, and Gebser says it will come back in the mental, later it will be formulated as a will of individual. Though that, in the magic structure, it is still only accepting the whole thing and has one point of the maker to do something. It has to be done with consideration of all the possible relations have to be considered. That's why ritual was the necessity. We had to project our will first to make it legitimate somewhere within our being with reality and then do it. There were two movements. There was the other world and we with our world. We had to interact through ritual first. And then it becomes this one-pointed will in the mental structure.
If we take that that structure and look at it from the Aurobindonian metaphysical point of view, consciousness force is the origin. Consciousness hyphen force, chit shakti, is the essence of the manifestation. In the human being, that is knowledge will. And so you can see the relationship between the Paramatma and the Jihatma in this ascending and descending consciousness force or knowledge will, which is the core of the individual. But it's also the core of every entity. So how can, for example, a phytoplankton become a phytoplankton, and how can a whale become a whale, and how can they provide each other a meaningful existence if there isn't that essential motivating force from within that is somehow magically related to all of those forces that are without? It's just a mirror, kind of. I think the external and the internal are somehow some kind of mirror of each other. And the invisible inner is the psychic being, or the will, or whatever it is. It's an invisible, essential being, which is evolving throughout time.
And takes this body as a first interaction with our outside world. The body is the result of this interaction. The body is the world built by this interaction. Whale's body or human body or anybody else's body is that point where it becomes something through which this will can interact with the outside world in a particular way. So it gives so such a variety of possibilities. Of
so you see why Rama wanted to be many.
Yes.
we're it. But he has so much terminology like that, which is a kind of idiosyncrasy of Gyatso. It's a stumbling block for some people.
And sometimes immediately sense in German, but if you translate it in version, it has some sort of magic with it.
The German title is Ursprung und Gegenwart, Origin and Presence. Shorter. Anyhow, it doesn't matter. So if we don't have, do we have something else to say? We can close it.